On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we look back at the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Chargers' loss. We ask which team has the best trash talkers. Hunter Renfrow is the man. Alex Leatherwood is not. John Gruden and Derek Carr talk slow starts and team unity. And we love you. Subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
There it is! Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. He's Juan Soto. I'm RJ Clifford. Let's have some fun today. We finally got reminded what a loss feels like because we won last season's final game, had the entire offseason, won three in a row. That's a long time between losses, especially for Raiders fans. It's like, wow, won the first three games, had some close ones, start getting that feeling of invincibility a little bit. Like, yeah, we'll flirt with losing, but that's not for us. That's for the Jaguars. That's for the Jets. That's for the Giants. That's for the Texans. That's what they do. We don't lose. And it was a little reminder, like, oh yeah, we were gonna lose some games this season. And the went to LA. Chargers handled business, and now we're 3-1 heading into, I guess. Now that it's 17 game seasons, it's not easily broken up. Like, oh, that was the first fourth of the season or the first quarter of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, now it's the math's all screwed up. Thanks, game 17. But basically, the first quarter of the season, if you would have said, hey, RJ, we're going to go 3-1 and beat 3 10-win teams from last season, what would you think? Would you be happy? I'd be like, I'll be doing car wheels. I'll be shooting fireworks out of my truck window. Like, I'd have a Raiders flag out my truck window shooting an Uzi in the sky saying, hell yeah, awesome. And that was during the hard part of our schedule. Great. So as depressed as we were Monday night doing that postgame show, I think big picture, take a step back, look at everything. 3-1's a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, we're still tied for the lead in the division. We lost a division game, which is never good. Nothing new. We didn't show anything new that we needed to fix. We knew the issues that we needed to fix going in and the things that were putting us behind. Slow starts offensively, issues protecting Derek Carr. Those are play calling, shit like that. Yeah. I mean, at least we know now that we can come back from 14. So that's cool, but just don't give a team a 21-point lead. That's just too much.
I mean, we
14 were good.
I mean, we didn't expect to go 17-0, right? Mm-hmm. We were going to lose games. We knew that. We knew we were going to lose some games. Chargers, hate to admit it, good team, right? Certainly have their flaws. Like, I think we learned a lot about them this game and learned how we're going to have to play them when we play them again later in the season. But like you said, it wasn't a slap in the face of any new issues. It was just simply 17 game season against a tough schedule, technically on the road, although there were more Raider fans at SoFi than Charger fans, same as there is everywhere. Yeah. The sky isn't falling as much as I felt it was, Monday night, or like suffering the hangover Tuesday morning, both metaphorically and biologically. Like, it felt worse now that I've sobered up a little bit. Had a good day today, got a workout in, well hydrated. It's like, you know what? That Raider flag is still going to go on my flagpole in the front yard. No reason to like put it down and change it for the stars and stripes. We're still in a great place. Any Chargers, Chiefs, or Broncos fans that drive by my house, look at that and say, oh, yeah, they are 3-1. That's a winner's household right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the things that we need to fix, I think what Monday night showed us is that there's a blueprint of how to handle and how to attack us if we don't fix it. If we don't fix the things that are issues, teams have come have a blueprint now of how to beat us, especially defensively, and especially early. They know that they have to jump on us early. And there's I watched the game back and I was cringing. Like, I had to like stop it and just walk away. It's almost like the first like 2 weeks of American Idol where like I have to like mute. It's so cringe. Like, I can't watch some of those people make a fool of themselves. That's how I felt watching the first half of this Raiders Chargers game that just happened. It was that bad. And the blame is all across the offensive side, all up and down the offensive side. Nobody's immune.
Yeah, watching Leatherwood play right tackle is like watching like Aunt Karen, who's like 64 from Iowa, trying to think she's Shakira on American Idol. You're like, oh God, I gotta get through this part to get to the good part. Damn it,
dude. Oof. He's just not good, man. He's just not good. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it. He's just not a good right tackle in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever be, because he looks just as bad now as he did the first game. There's no improvement at all.
Yeah.
It's really concerning if we continue to push him out that right tackle, because he's going to get Derek Carr hurt, dude. He allowed another handful of hits. Again, I'm not talking of pressures or hurries. He allowed another handful of hits. And now teams know, okay, just blitz right outside of whoever's on top of put your best rusher on Leatherwood and then blitz right beside him so they can't double team. Mm-hmm. You have to use that extra person to pick up the blitzer. And that's the thing that the Chargers did consistently that really screwed with the Raiders' offensive line and their blocking scheme. Or else you have to do max protect every play, just send out two or three receivers, which is going to make it a lot easier on the defense.
The thing about losing to the Chargers, like the silver lining to it, is like, you know, when you lose to a rival and like your buddies who are friends, you know, fans of those teams, or, you know, like the social media you follow or whoever it may be, they rub it in. The Chargers fans are so shitty at talking trash after a win. It doesn't feel as bad. Like, even like the Chargers Twitter was trying to like stir shit up. And they're like, just one, baby. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's so original. Wow. Like, did they have Shakespeare running their Twitter account? That's incredible. What amazing wordsmiths. They just have like a Mensa meeting of people just thinking up zingers. And that's so clever. And I was like my buddy who Charger fans like text me, he's like, in your face. Like, oh, wow. That really rubs salt in the wound. You really hit me somewhere where I didn't think you'd be hit before. Like, thank God they're terrible, terrible trash talkers. Otherwise, it would suck more.
You know what really got me? All the fucking shit talkers at our post-game live show. It's like, you don't have anything better to do than to jump on a Raiders live show to talk shit and then run away, right? To sign off right away. Let me just hop on here and ha 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 and fucking bounce. I was cussing him out like, say something else. Oh, he's probably fucking gone.
You see, they got under your skin, Soto, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been in like radio for over a decade. Like, if you're gonna come at me for something, you gotta put something. You gotta make something clever out of it. You gotta come up with a zinger. You gotta make it hurt. You gotta tell me something I haven't heard before. You gotta tell me something that's true. So just like, oh, ha, 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 you poopy face. It's like, oh, okay.
You are kind of a poopy face.
That's actually what I'm saying. You have to tell me something I haven't heard before. I've heard poopy face enough times. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Which team has the best trash talkers?
Dude, Philly. Philly's got some
Philly's
strong,
got good trash talkers.
Strong. I've been to Philly. I have been to a Philly football game. I was at a Phillies game. You know who else? I'm not going to lie. It's
Pats.
Pats
fans.
Maybe not football.
Because they're in people's face so much because, you know, they've won so much recently. You know what I mean? Yeah. They have a lot of FaceTime shit-talking people because they're on everyone's radar from the, you know, from Tuck Real Tommy winning those trophies.
You know who likes to fight the most? It's not the Raiders. Fucking White Sox fans. I've been lucky enough to go to two White Sox games, like, at their stadium. Dude, they fucking go at it. And it's mostly White Sox fans against other White Sox fans. Yeah, dude, they fucking go at it, bro. Fucking White Sox fans are gnarly.
See, I always thought it was the other. I thought the Cubbies were the asshole.
No, they're just having fun, dude.
Yeah.
The Sox, those guys fucking
Sox is dude. South Chicago.
No, Cubbies. South side is the Cubs.
Cubs. North and that's supposed to be the rough side of Chicago, right? I'm just stereotyping, but I think rough area, I think trash talker fighters more.
I don't know, man. These guys got privilege or something, and they just want to bow up on somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe they are kicking a four better liquor and they get drunk faster.
Maybe. There's a lot of theories. We gotta have like an
IPA.
There are so many like sociological studies you can do at NFL stadiums. Like you could study like human behavior, trash talk, home field advantage, alcohol consumption, fighting, the physical. Like that has got to be like a Harvard PhD's wet dream. Just like showing up with like his monocle and like a Argyle vest and like a chalk and like a clipboard. Just like, okay, so this Raider fan with the black and white face paint just broke off a bottle and stabbed this guy with a Bolts jersey. What does that mean? Like, oh, he's really fucking pissed that they're losing. That's what it means.
Sometimes a simple answer is the best answer.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the nitty gritty. Let's get into the details. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Chargers 28, Raiders 14. Soda, what'd you see?
Okay. I didn't have to jump into a bunch of stats and this person's PFF grade, this person graded out like this.
Mm-hmm. Good, the bad, and the ugly is better without it. Because I feel like it's like a Western. Like the Westerns aren't one with numbers. It's one with observations and grit.
Okay. Well, speaking of grit, Hunter Renfro, a little good old Hummer Renfro. Smart, aggressive play. That fucking tackle on that fake punt, that was probably so one of the better, like, free safety, like, tracking. And like, if it would have been in college, he would have been kicked off for targeting.
Yeah.
That would have fucking been. And it was a thing of beauty. Not only did we have 10 people on the field, thanks a lot, whoever's fucking running the special teams.
Yeah.
But he noticed that we didn't have it, and he saw him kind of creeping. So there goes Renfro creeping. And as soon as that ball, as soon as the punter flipped the ball from holding it like this to like holding it like that,
mm-hmm.
dude, he fucking dead sprint. He knew exactly what was happening, and he got there just in time and beat the shit out of that fucking guy, that gunner. So the great job there.
Getting laid out by Hunter Renfro is like just like half a notch above getting laid out by the punter. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a football player.
He's tough, but he's tiny, and he's a slot receiver. Like, doesn't even play defense. And he decapitated that gunner, dude. Like that Chargers, ball went the flying. Chargers
coach, the Chargers coach that was right there,
jumping up and down.
Like, he's like, yeah,
what?
So good. Go ahead.
He took the frustrations of just getting beaten up by opposing defenses the last two seasons. Cause refs, apparently like you're allowed to do whatever you want to Hunter Renfro. If you're an NFL referee, he took all those frustrations of all the seasons and just took it all out on that one gunner. Like that was like when you finally call like your dad out and you just like load up like all of your teenage years of frustration on that one punch to hit your dad. That was Renfro to the gunner.
Well, you know, you needed it all to get out there and to lay the kid out.
Did you hear John Gruden on the presser, not immediately after the game, but the midweek one when someone asked about it? I have never seen Gruden gush more.
Yeah. He was like, smiling. He was bright. His eyes were lit up. I was like, oh, shit.
That's the most Gruden grinder.
Your sister might have some competition for Hunter Renfro, dude. I think Gruden might slide into DMs before your sister can. Shit. He was fucking glassy eyed.
Dude, that was the most Gruden grinder type play that you could ever do on a football field, right? Like he'd rather talk about his slot receiver noticing there's 10 guys on the field, sniffing out the fake punt, delivering a huge hit from a guy who's my size, than talk about like a 90-yard bomb from Henry Ruggs or Max Crosby getting a strip sack on Drew Lock or something. He would rather talk about that play than anything. That is the ultimate Gruden grinder. I've never seen Gruden so happy.
Quintessential Gruden grinder right there.
Yeah, he looked like he just like snorted a bunch of Molly and talked about that. It was
awesome. Oh yeah, he was.
It made me feel good seeing how good John Gruden felt.
I'm not gonna lie, I did watch the play a couple times.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Yeah, you can only jerk off to it so many times.
Yeah, after a while, it's like, eh.
Unless you're Gruden, then there's no limit to it.
There's no limit. It's all the seed spilled. But also, Hunter Renfro's his routes that he ran, he was getting bracketed a lot, and he was able to get open. He got a touchdown, so great job during the game, Hunter Renfro. Corey Littleton led the team with 14 tackles, 9 solo tackles. So that's an excellent job by Corey Littleton.
He just looked more
active. You know, he was cold to start the year, but the last two games has been really good games for him. Double-digit tackles in both games, the last two games. He had 10 last week and 14 this week, and he was all over the place this week, this last week. So good job, Corey Littleton. Denzel Perryman again, 12 tackles, 8 solo. He's a fucking hammer. He goes in there, sticks his head in there. You're not gonna get too many free lanes up in the middle there with Denzel Perryman up in there. Another one that kind of shocked me when I saw the stats, Amik Robertson,
yeah,
playing on the outside, giving up fucking 7-8 inches in girth to Mike Williams. He had 7 tackles, 6 solo. He allowed 0 catches to Mike Williams. He's a third string DB, a third string corner. I think Arnett is now going to be the third string corner because Amik Robertson showed that he can handle playing on the outside and playing a big receiver. It wasn't like we're the only people in the stadium who saw the mismatch.
Yeah.
Fucking Justin Herbert, the coaching staff knew who was playing him and who was on him. It's like, and he couldn't get open. He couldn't get open against Robertson. Or if he was open, they would have thrown the ball. But great job for him by Amik Robertson.
I think Amik is the smallest player on our defense, both in height and weight. I think he's the smallest guy, and he's going against one of the biggest receivers in football.
Yeah, he's swinging a big dick though, dude, because he shut him out.
Dude, and I've got Mike Williams. The only reason I know that I got Mike Williams on my fantasy, and he was the number one fantasy receiver after two games. Like, he's been crushing it.
Yeah, he had a touchdown every game.
And
Amik
fucking Robertson shut him out.
Shut him down.
Shut him down. Woo.
Yeah.
Dude, our DBs, if they can just stay healthy, are so impressive this season.
Yeah.
Such a bright spot. Our defense in general has been a big bright spot. And we thought, like, okay, our defensive line is going to do all the work and they'll carry the load for everybody. Every level of our defense is holding their own minimum or playing lights out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that defensive line, Darius Filon with 2 sacks, and he was the one getting the pressure. Up the middle against Herbert. We didn't hit him as nearly as much as we needed to.
Yeah. Getting the ball out fast.
He was getting the ball fast, but I mean, Big Ben got the ball out fast too, and we still were to hit him. It's just, we just didn't get there. We didn't do a good job. The rest of the guys didn't do a good job of getting to him and hitting him. But Darius Filon, 2 sacks, great job. So that's the good. You ready for the bad?
No.
Okay, well, here it is anyway. Damn, no surprise. The O-line overall blocking was dog shit.
Yeah.
Their run blocking was terrible. Their pass blocking was even worse. We knew that there was going to be a regression in play by the offensive line. But then you add on top of that all the injuries to our guards, basically, our starting guards. And then our backup guards are getting hurt, and you get to throw in fucking Homer Simpson, motherfucking Simmons. I don't know who the fuck that guy is. I have no clue. I had to like look at my phone, like, who's Simmons? Who the hell is this guy? And he played like it, unfortunately. He's not a starter. He's not a backup. He's a rotational guy if people get hurt, or else he'd be on the fucking practice squad. And that's what we saw out there. And unfortunately, we'll talk about individuals later. Also, the bad, Derek Carr, man. That first half, he wasn't under, like, duress every single time he dropped back. That's what we might think because of how bad the offensive line played. But he had time back there, and he missed 4 throws in the first half. They were just bad throws, man. He looked like his clock was a little hurried and he was a little antsy. He missed a wide open Darren Waller twice in the first half. Because, I mean, he threw the ball early. And guys, look, if you guys haven't watched and studied every single dropback in the first half, don't say anything, please. I understand what your brain is telling you, but just, you can tell my shit's shaking. Just don't do it, all right? Just stop. He had a bad game, okay? He didn't play well. I'm not shitting on the guy. He just had a bad game, all right? He had a fumble again. He had a badly overthrown ball to Ruggs and also a badly underthrown ball that he was actually able to catch, deep balls. So that needs to get cleaned up if we want to go and play more like in the second half than he did in the first half. I have just made
peace with the fact that, all right, I guess Derek Carr is just going to suck ass in the first quarter of every game this season. Okay. As long as he plays lights out like he has in quarters 2, 3, and 4, and he still throws for 400 yards, 2 touchdowns. Okay. I guess that's how we're playing this season. The end result and the W and the yards and the performance was there. Great. Okay. Went into week 4 against the Chargers. I'm like, okay, after the first quarter, yeah, he sucked ass. Now he's going to turn it on. All right. A couple of minutes into the second quarter, he's going to start firing on all cylinders. A couple more minutes in the second quarter, I'm like, okay, here it comes. Here we go. 8 minutes into the second quarter, like, all right, it's just around the corner. Here we go. Half is over, 21-0, and we're down, shut out. Carr's playing like shit. I'm like, God damn it.
Dude,
it's God just, damn it.
The problem that is the situational football that we played was bad. And if you're not going to give John Gruden the credit for the plays being changed off the line when things are going well, then you can't give Gruden all the blame when the plays aren't working and things aren't going well. So it's got to be shared between Gruden and Carr as far as the struggles happening in the first half and especially in the second quarter. You know, you and I have talked about this a few times. And John Gruden even says how proud he is of his first 15 of his script, right?
Yeah.
And the script basically is meant, in Gruden's eyes, the way he works, it's meant to put the defense in certain positions to get us information of how they're going to react to certain formations and shifts and all this stuff and groupings and all this stuff. And that gives Derek Carr more information to be able to check to different plays later in the game. And that's great, but the issue is when you start switching things up like the Chargers did, they didn't do that whole blitzing thing off of Bosa in the first quarter. They did it more towards the second half or towards the middle of the second quarter, and that really threw the offensive line and Derek Carr for a loop because they were switching it up. And I mean, if you and I can figure this stuff out about, okay, this is what Gruden is trying to do with the offense, the defense is going to hold back to the first quarter or so. And I want to show you something here.
Well, look, we can micro diagnose all the issues with Carr, the passing game, and the offense all day long. And I think this is another one of those seeing the forest through the trees, because we watch every Derek Carr throw multiple times. We see all the warts, but at the end of the day, even after that Monday night game against the Chargers, Carr still has more passing yards than anybody else in football, and he's doing it with no run game and a trash line. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Carr, hey, he knows what he needs to fix. We know what he needs to fix. Keep doing it. But at the end of the day, leading the league in passing yards with no help other than great targets, right? Great targets, good scheme, good arm. Maybe the worst run offense of his career. I mean, his rookie year was really bad too. Oh, yeah. Maybe not as bad as his rookie year, but one of his worst lines and one of his worst run games. And he's playing and he leads the league in passing. Like, that's got to count for something.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if we're going to win, Derek Carr has to lead us to the victory. If Derek Carr has a bad game, we're not going to win. It's just not possible. It's not possible for us to win if he has a bad game. Just the way the cookie crumbled this year.
Our defense can bail them out for a bad quarter and a half.
Not a bad half.
Three quarters. Look, that's, you know, our defense is playing much better, but not, it ain't like 0-1 Ravens defense.
No. So, okay. We have the ball. We're down 14-0. We got about 4 minutes and change, four minutes, 20 seconds on the clock. We got the ball and we went 3 and out. Jacobs for 5 yards. Another run, Jacobs for 4 yards. Another run, Jacobs for a yard that was initially called a first down. Then it was challenged, and nope, short. You're short.
Yeah.
So this cannot happen. We'll get into this in the ugly, but this was a pivotal point in this game. If the Raiders just do something with the ball and make it more difficult for the Chargers to score, because the Chargers went right down, you know what, in like a handful of plays. I don't know. It was 9 plays. It only took them 2 minutes off the clock and ran down the field and scored the third touchdown right before half.
Yeah.
So that was our ball. That was our chance to not only eat up clock. And the thing is fucking Gruden, when he wants to eat up clock, he's going to run the ball. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense when you haven't done that well this whole year. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start doing it now. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. It was a terrible sequence. And it really put us against the eight ball. Once they scored that third touchdown, the game was essentially over at that point. So moving on with the bad, Josh Jacobs, 13 carries for 40 yards.
Welcome back, Josh.
Yeah, welcome back. I mean, you're playing like dog shit. If you're hurt or not or whatever, I don't care. If you're out there, if you're able to fucking get out there and play, I expect you to play at some sort of level of an NFL player. Like, it's just fucking terrible. Okay, moving on.
I said it a million times. I love me some Josh Jacobs. Great. Happy we have him. I'll slap him on the ass when I see him, buy him a beer. But he is O-line dependent as much as an average running back. And you don't get a guy in a first round. You don't extend a first round pick contract on a guy that's as dependent on the O-line as someone you pick up off the practice squad.
Yeah, it's fucking... The problem is, I think Gruden will probably just give him a bunch of money.
Whoa. John Gruden throwing money around at a running back? I don't think that's literally never happened.
Yeah. How many touches did fucking Kenyon Drake get?
Uno.
Yep.
He got one touch. Was he making $11 million 2 years? That's Kenyon Drake, right? Jalen Richard getting $3.5 million this season.
Sit at home and do nothing.
And then who's the only guy that's been able to run? Peyton Barber,
who's hurt now. Sucks. All right, let's get to the ugly. Gruden's play calling. I highlighted it right now. Not only to begin the game, but his situational play calling is so predictable.
Mm.
We all know what he's going to do. Okay, so the Raiders got the ball. They forced the punt. Big stop by the defense. Forced a 3 and out by the Chargers. Okay, we got the ball back. 4 minutes, 17 seconds left in the half. We run 3 up the gut, okay? Very similar to last week, getting Carr almost get his head knocked off. But we ran 3 up the gut and seemingly maybe got a first down, but the Chargers challenged and the first down was taken away, too short. So now we punt the ball, Chargers take the ball down the field, and they score a touchdown, which makes the game now 21-0. At this point, whenever we play to not lose instead of playing to win, shit like this happens. The same thing happened against the Dolphins when we were playing conservative. We're trying to run the clock out, and guess what happened? The fucking Dolphins got the ball back, and they ran back down. That's when we got 2 runs for -1 yard, and then the Carr got sacked for 15 yards on third down play. When we play to not win, when we play to not lose instead of playing to win, this stuff happens to us because Gruden is so predictable when he's in that mode. Gruden needs to stick light a fire up his ass and be hungry. Be hungry. He was content with going into halftime 14-0.
Yeah.
Right? And what happened? We ended up kicking the ball back, and they shoved it up our ass and got another touchdown. So Gruden's play calling and his in-game adjustments, fuck, dude, he got out-coached by a Division III head coach. He got out-coached by those guys.
John Gruden's play calling is so great when it's like halfway through the third quarter on their own 30. Like, that's when he's awesome. But any situational play calling, fourth and one, goal line, you know, anything where it's like outside of just like the norm. I think he spends all of his time just like, all right, when the pot's wide open, what am I going to do? He's awesome. He's elite. Like, maybe top five in the league play callers in those situations. Then as soon as you throw a curveball in there, a little bit of a wrinkle, he's like, duh, what do I feel like right now? It's a shame.
It's terrible, man, because I can hear where you go, oh, well, you know, you're down in your own territory, down 14-0. You can't give them the ball right back. Throw three passes to get the ball right back. Well, what ended up fucking happening? And this is not about being an armchair quarterback or your hindsight, right? Oh, well, they ended up scoring anyway. No, it's about what you're conveying as a coach and as a team. You're not being aggressive. You're not, and that aggressiveness shown by Carr, shown by Gruden, that is what got you to 3-0, was being more aggressive, pushing the ball further down the field. If you don't do that, if you get away from that, which they did early in the game as well, good things aren't going to happen. Once they got better, you tell me that a different team came out of halftime for the Chargers, a different defensive line, a different set of line, group of linebackers, a different set of DBs came out, and that's the team that you pushed the ball down the field on, and that's the team you scored on, not the one in the first half. So, whoa, it was the same team? Maybe if you be more aggressive, better shit will happen. Maybe if you put a little bit more pressure on the defense, better shit will happen. And that's what started to happen once they started pushing the ball on the field more. So, Gruden, that was fucking ugly, all right? Okay, another ugly. Leatherwood, I don't even fucking want to get into this fucking guy. I told you guys from the very beginning, from the time they called his fucking name, I did not want this guy. This guy's absolute dog shit, okay? And he fucking plays like it. I'm getting sick and tired of calling this guy's name out every fucking week for the same goddamn thing. How are you going to be a tackle in the NFL and not be able to pass block? Okay, because I fucking talked out of my ass.
You should never be this famous as a right tackle. Like, you should not get your name called this many times in a game.
I talked out of my ass like, oh, yeah, I could block Joey Bosa and shit like that. But, dude,
I remember.
At least make it a fucking competition. It was not a competition at all. At least win some of them.
He pancaked Bosa a couple times.
Bro.
He got a couple.
Because Bosa was chasing the ball. Bosa was chasing the ball, and he got him from the side.
Bosa probably just forgot Alex Leatherwood was there because he was beating him so much. No. He's like, wait, there's a human here.
Never won. He did not win. He either got beat or he got beat too late, and the ball was already out. That's what happened with that fucking Alex Leatherwood. Him, and don't let me get started on fucking Arnett. Arnett, you're hurt now. Get better, whatever. Get better and get better, all right? Because you got turned around like you were on a fucking skates. Keenan Allen does that to people, but dude, you had no idea where the fuck he was.
Yeah.
All right. You were a liability. Thank God Amik Robinson came in and played his ass off, because now we have something else other than putting fucking Arnett in. That's another ugly play. And then my last ugly, because I don't want to fucking dwell on this game. I want to move on and we'll talk about the Bears. But that ref's call on Waller on taunting.
Yeah.
That was fucking ugly. That was fucking stupid. I don't understand what the basis of that rule is, what that call is supposed to do to help the NFL. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The rules are supposed to be there to help the game.
Changing a rule that makes the game less fun that no one asked for would cause problems.
Dude, he wasn't getting into anyone's face. He spiked the ball and he showed some emotion. That was it. You ask anybody on the fucking Charger sidelines, they don't have a problem with that. Oh, you fucking caught the ball. All right, whatever.
Soto, you need to think of the children. Kids are watching this game, and they're looking fucking at that kid, guy, bro. And they're saying, okay, is that how I'm going to behave? All over the country on Tuesday, there were kids throwing footballs on the floor and yelling at sidelines because of what Darren Waller did.
Parents, if, all you, are, if you allow, if you
kids
allow
have been joining kids, gangs, they've been getting arrested. It's been an epidemic ever since Darren Waller threw that football down. Thank God the referees were there to say, no, 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 that's bad behavior. Because they're thinking of the children.
Parents, if you let your kids watch grown men, like the top 2% of athletes in the world, get into simulated car accidents over and over and over again against one another, then you get what you get.
Getting mad at taunting in the NFL is like being mad at the foul language in a porno. It's like, all right, I'm watching this chick get bukkakied by three dongs. And as soon as she said fuck, now it's like, that's when I clutch my pearls. It's like, oh God, that's inappropriate. That's foul language. That's bad. I can't have that. That's like, see, that's like you said, having 53 guys give each other concussions for an hour. And then as soon as someone spikes a football and gets excited, you're like, oh geez, whoa, that's terrible. Nelly, that is unfortunate. Kids, shield your eyes. That's too bad.
Dude, I was watching this one scene with like it was a stepmom scene.
Go on.
And like the guy said something like, oh yeah, I fucking said some shit. And the fucking mom's like, now dear, don't cuss. I was like, dude, that's fucking hilarious. She really got into that scene.
She had an NFL referee in her ear telling her, okay.
Yeah, she the had flag. The fucking hell, the green dot
the flag on the stepson. Yeah.
She had the green dot to hold it on.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Raiders Chargers. We'll get him next time. All right. So I pulled a lot of audio for this show because there's multiple press. I watched all the press conferences this week, and there's a lot of interesting things that were brought up. So first things first, we all acknowledge the biggest problem Raiders have had is a really, really slow starts offensively. Like the defense is keeping us in games, but they can only do so much. And so John Gruden was straight up asked, like, what do you make of these slow starts? And here's what he had to say.
Not to overthink it or anything. Derek's been in command since I've been here. We have a...
Well, that's the wrong one. This is the one. We're not slow starts.
Yeah, there's God damn it, yeah. That we have to do. You know, we have to pass protect better early in games. Sometimes it's been a number of things. We've had errant shotgun snaps. You know, I've got to call some better plays, no doubt. We got to get our running game going at some point early in a game. But we just haven't done very well early in games, let's be honest. And that needs to change.
So he said a bunch of obvious things, right? Run game's trash. O-line's not blocking well. Got to get Jacobs going. But he snuck in one thing. He said a lot of obvious things, but he snuck in one thing that made me, because I've said it before on this show, I'm starting to see a little bit of a theme with John Gruden, where he's starting to be a little more self-aware. And I think the criticisms, like the correct criticisms that John, because he gets a lot of criticism that I think is trash, but the correct criticism that John Gruden gets, I think he's starting to listen to and adjust. He said, the play calling needs to be a little bit better. There we go. Okay. Okay, maybe I got to change something. Maybe just doing 15 plays out of the gate maybe isn't the right way to go. Maybe my situational play calling needs to be a little bit better. Maybe I got to rethink something here. Maybe let Derek Carr make a couple decisions at the line more so than he does. You know, maybe not just go run, pass, first down, second down, third down every single time out, right? This is good. This is good, Soto. A little self-aware. The ego that we've always talked about, the refusing to change, the stubbornness, this is a good sign. This isn't a drastic change, right? This isn't a breakthrough in a psychiatrist chair. But this is baby steps in the direction we've been pushing for a while.
Dude, this is how I see this. This is like the guy that security finds passed out next to his car in the parking structure of his job, drunk. And then he says, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. I need to really work on that. It's like, dude, it's so fucking obvious that if you don't say it, if you don't admit it, there's an even bigger problem and you looked at even worse. So he's just, like you said, he's stating the obvious. I'll believe it when I see it. Because this is now, what, 9-10 games in a row we started 3-and-out? Mm-hmm. This whole season, we have not scored a point in the first quarter. What the actual fuck is going on here? What do we have to do to get him to change? Him saying something doesn't mean jack shit. He has to actually do it. And I want to see it because right now, it's just the same old shit. It's an alcoholic saying that he's an alcoholic. Great. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You admit it. You admit the obvious. Cool. Everyone here knows what you just said.
He's made some non-Gruden changes a little bit. Like we mentioned, little tiny ones the last game where he went for it on a fourth and short where he never would have. He didn't throw a red challenge flag. Instead, he just called a timeout, which was dumber, but at least he was doing something different, right? So it's like, again, we're talking inches, not miles. Little tiny baby steps. And, you know, I've never been in a 12-step program before because I'm not a quitter. But I imagine I've been told that the first step is admitting there's a problem. And he's done step one, right? Let's see if he does step 2 through 12 moving forward. Another part that we talked about a lot when we were 3-0 was, okay, are we going to get an early version of the Raiders the last two seasons where we start 6-3, 6-4, fall apart late? Are we going to get that now? Because we're just going to start feeling ourselves 3-0, you know, the only undefeated team in the AFC for like a day, right? Because we were the Monday night game. Mm-hmm. Are we going to start feeling ourselves a little bit? And Derek Carr was asked this before Monday's game. This is last week, right? So this is after we're 3-0. Our friend Adam Hill was the one who asked him the question about how do you stay motivated and rolling when you're 3-0 and starting to feel yourself a little bit. That's what he had to say.
I mean, I've absolutely had individual conversations. Not that I felt like I had to, but just in communication, just, hey, 3-0 is great, but if we lose the rest of them, we're all going to be looking for jobs. You know, like that's just how this game goes. So you just got to keep grinding, stay true to what we've been doing. And, you know, really, it's in the details. It's in making sure it sounds so silly, but making sure our locker room's clean, making sure that we're not late to weigh-ins, making sure we're not late to meetings, making sure that we're, you know, eating the right things, going to bed on time, not spending too much time doing other stuff. You know, keep committed to what we've been doing because it's working. And don't let little things – see, when you win, sometimes it's easy to let the little things slide. And it's just been on my heart to not let that happen. As soon as the game was over, I mentioned some things that I thought that we could have been better throughout the week, and I expected those things as captains. We expected those things to be better this week, and we won the game. You know, so we're trying our best to not let the exciting start and then fall off thing happen. We're trying our best to maintain through the whole season, and we'll see where it lands at the end.
So I pulled this one because I wanted to get any sort of thought in anyone's mind or any sort of narrative or storyline that this is the Raiders feeling themselves and falling apart. I didn't see that at all. The Raiders lost from the things that they do poorly, continuing to do poorly or worse. And the things they do well, they did well, just not enough of it. This wasn't a 180. This wasn't a culture change. This wasn't a too cocky. This loss wasn't any of those things. It was the same things that has been the problem for us for a while now. Pass blocking has been atrocious. Running game's not going. Defense is good, but not so good where it can overcome drastic problems with the offense.
No takeaways.
Yeah, no takeaway. This wasn't, you know, a ton of false starts that we never have, or, you know, a bunch of drop balls that we never do. Like this. I feel like the culture and the mindset of the team is still good. They weren't affected by that 3-0.
No, it's definitely getting there.
And Derek Carr definitely sounds like that's something that's on his mind and he's learned from the last two seasons. It's like, all right, go to bed on time, dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like little things like that. Like if you're not on time for a meeting, you know, it's a fine, or we give you a swirly or whatever the hell, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like Derek Carr, the leader, is aware of that. And that has not been the issue so far.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I keyed on was he said that these are things that he noticed throughout the week and they addressed after the game. Mm-hmm. That's a good level of consciousness where you can identify things that need to be fixed and then you address them. A higher level of consciousness is addressing them while they're happening.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like waiting till halftime to switch up your game plan so you can have a better second half. When you know your fucking game plan is not working, you just switch it up on the fly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to see moving forward, is that attitude of, we need to fix this shit now. It's a sense of urgency. Get this shit done now. If someone's fucking up, someone's not doing X or Y, you tell them right then and there, this is what we need from you going forward. this is what happened. This is the problem. This is what we need.
So talking about Derek Carr, this whole season, especially with the really, really hot start, the first two, three games, people are like, oh, where's this Derek Carr from? Wow, I can't believe he's balling out. This is crazy. Where's this guy been the last seven seasons? And John Gruden was asked about that. Here's what he had to say.
Not to overthink it or anything. Derek's been in command since I've been here. We have a better team. You know, we got better opportunities. You know, our defense is a big part of that. But time, repetition is the mother of learning. This guy's had a million reps. And the emergence of Edwards, the emergence of Renfro, Ruggs, is important. But his command has always been off the charts. I think we were last in the league in possessions last year. Might have been last in the league in field position in terms of drive starts. So with that being said, you give this guy a lot of opportunities, he's going to have, I think, a lot of chances to succeed. I think he's a great quarterback. His command is very good, and hopefully it continues.
I'm 100% with Gruden. Now, while I will acknowledge Derek Carr is one season better, right? Like, he's just one more season of experience, and he's a little better at some certain things. The very specific things that we've been begging him to improve on, he has. He moves around the pocket a little bit better, not fumbling as much anymore. It's mostly, honestly, Andre James and some bad snaps that have been his problem, or just getting, like, clobbered by some end where, like, probably anybody would drop the ball, right? He's not Mr. Butterfingers, but everything I've been saying for a while is, like, I always gave you shit because in 2016 you weren't saying get rid of Derek Carr, he's playing great. Now, and that's because our defense was decent and we were winning games. And I think that's more the case this season than Carr drastically improving. Ruggs has come up. Edwards has come up. Waller's one season better. Renfro's one season better. And Carr is also one season better. But I think it's more everything around Derek Carr. John Gruden mentioned, I think his offense was last in possessions last season because the defense was so bad. We're getting the ball more often now. Getting the ball in better field position now. Everything around Derek Carr, not everything, but like defense, targets, receivers, tight ends, they got better around him. And so when he got a tiny bit better, it looked like he got astronomically better because his ecosystem is now better.
Well, the problem with that logic is the most important thing to a quarterback got dramatically worse, which was his protection.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't buy it. I think that Derek Carr has always been this good quarterback, but he hasn't played that way. And we see that with his average depth of target. We see that with his average yards per completion. We see that with him pushing the ball further down the field. Now, I'm not the only person to say this. Sanjeet was on here, and he said the exact same thing. He echoed the exact same thing I did. When Derek Carr gets under pressure, before this year, when Derek Carr gets under pressure, he looks to check down, often too quickly, because there are bigger plays to be made down the field. Now, as far as the targets that he has, if there are players down the field to make plays, if they're open to get the ball thrown to, has, you know, you name these quarterbacks out there that are out there, and they haven't always had a ton of great receiving targets. They've had maybe one guy, then a bunch of other guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about the receiver that you have out there. Go, oh, well, you know, he didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Okay, look, that's not the case, first off. The problem that I see with that train of thought is you're saying that Derek Carr has been this MVP caliber quarterback every single year. It's just the rest of the team is better, and that's what makes him better. That's part of it. But also, Derek Carr himself is changing the way he plays the game, and he's being more aggressive, and that is helping him get more stats, basically.
And I also think a big part of being more aggressive is I think the play calling of Gruden is been a little bit more aggressive. Like, we're seeing more deep play designs.
Again, two, man, dude, the thing that was my issue was he dumps the ball off too early when there are better plays to be made. And he's not doing that this year. And that's why he's making those plays. Does he always complete it? No. But more often than not, he does, because he's an accurate passer of the ball and he's trusting his guys. And he was just so, I don't know what word to use. He was just so risk averse that he wants to just check it down, check it down, check it down. And the plays are down the field, man. That's where it is. I get what you're saying, man. I'm not saying I disagree with you wholeheartedly, but you have to agree with me that his play is better, just not the team. It's his play itself. He's playing better, and it's not just him being in a system for a year longer.
I think the team around him improved drastically more than
God damn it. God fucking damn it. All right, let's move on to something else.
Also this.
I'm going to fucking blow up.
He can throw 50-50 balls to Ruggs and Edwards this season, which he couldn't do before. You didn't have to trust in those guys.
They
weren't going to catch him.
Ruggs
wasn't getting separation. Edwards wasn't getting separation.
When you say 50-50 ball, it just baked into that, there's no separation. It's a 50-50 ball. Okay? Okay, that's the way you feel about it, and that's the way we're going to keep it.
Would you have trust Ruggs in 50-50 balls last season? I won it. I'm not surprised.
That's the problem, RJ. You're not addressing what I'm saying. I'm saying that
I'm bringing up another part, right? Okay. We moved,
but you're not
moved
addressing
on.
What I'm saying.
On because you already said I'm not necessarily disagreeing. So it's like, okay, we can table that one and move on to my next point.
Okay,
receivers,
fine.
Are the receivers not, yes or no? The receivers are better this season, yes or no?
I don't know. It's all Carr. Dude,
I concur. Nothing, let's move on.
Nothing I say is going to make a difference because you feel that this has been the same Derek Carr every year. It's just magically the team gotten that much better. Dude, it's not the case. Derek Carr mentally has gotten over something to be able to push the ball down the field more. That's what
I'll let you get the last word. I'll let you get the last word on this, then we'll move on.
That was my last word.
Did the receivers get better this season than last season?
I'm not going to play this game.
Yes, because you know it's true. You refuse to say it.
You're telling me you can have the last word, but then you're asking me the question to kind of steer my. The receivers are being more productive this year because they're allowed to be more productive. They're getting the ball in areas to help them be more productive.
So they're not better. So they are not better this season.
They're performing better. I'm saying that they are better and they're performing better.
Right. Just like I said, I'd give you the last word, and I'm true to it.
Look, you're saying Derek Carr is a year better because he's been in the system and in the NFL a year longer. Great, but as a receiver, you're only as good as the opportunities that you get. You can be the best receiver if you don't get thrown the ball. You're not going to fucking get any stats. Derek Carr is giving these guys this year the opportunity to make plays on balls that normally last year, last few years, last 6 years, he hasn't given. So that's my answer.
So we agree. The receivers are way better this season. So let's move on from Derek Carr and go on to Derek Carr. So the big headline this week was Joey Bosa in the post-game presser said this about QB1 of the Las Vegas Raiders. We knew once we hit him a few times, he really gets shook. And you saw on Covington's sack, he was pretty much curling into a ball before we even got back there. Great dude, great player. But we know once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down. Shots fired out of Joey Bosa. What do you make of his comments?
I agree with his comments prior to this year. And Derek Carr didn't do anything to change that opinion in the first half. But, you know, he came out in the second half with a full sack and he was ready to go. But, I mean, I kind of agree with it previous years. And in the first half, yeah, it's the same shit that we've seen. Him missing throws, him throwing the ball too early when he had time and open receivers. It's bullshit. Because Derek Carr came back, but honestly, you know, you could build 1,000 bridges, right? So Derek Carr is the only person who could change that opinion of himself. Because if Joey Bosa said it, he's not the only person that thinks it. The Chargers aren't the only people that think this.
So just about every single player, coach, whoever that had a microphone in front of him this week was asked about Bosa's comments, and they all said the same thing. It's like, not true. We don't care. not true, we don't care, which is the right answer, and not just words, but the correct thing. We don't care. One, because, you know, it's a divisional rival. Like, they're going to play again. Like, yeah. I'll never forget when Cain Velasquez fought Junior Dos Santos the second time. You know, two former heavyweight champions in the UFC. JD Junior Dos Santos knocked out Cain Velasquez in 69 seconds the first time. Mm-hmm. Cain Velasquez beat the ever-living crap out of him the second time and then beat him again the third time.
How the fuck did he stay on his feet that second fight?
Daniel Cormier told me, teammate of Cain Velasquez, that Cain told him at the second fight, I know there's going to be a trilogy. I'm going to beat him the second time and there's going to be a third time. I'm not just trying to win that second fight on that night of the second fight. I'm trying on the night of the second fight, I'm trying to win my second fight and my third fight. I'm trying to put the fear of God in Junior Dos Santos, in my opponent, so that he's beaten, broken, and mentally destroyed when the third fight comes around. That was his goal. And that's what Joey Bosa is trying to do here. He knows he's going to play the Raiders again this season and twice a season for as long as Derek Carr and Joey Bosa are on opposite teams on the Raiders and Chargers, right? That's what he's doing. And no one's buying it. One, because it's just factually untrue. Like you said, Carr was sacked four times. After his third sack is when he started throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah.
He got sacked twice in the first half. Third sack came, and then two plays later, he throws his first touchdown. So if the more they sacked Derek Carr, the better he played. It's literally the opposite. After the sacks came, that's when Derek Carr went to being the Derek Carr that we know of this season. Mm-hmm. So one, it's standard issue mental warfare from an opposing defender. And two, it's just factually untrue. Like it's like saying 2 + 2 = 7. It's just not true. But this statement is what made all the headlines the last 4 to 8 hours. Like every single news site, every single football site, every single sports site, Joey Bosa, you know, Derek Carr's mentally weak, right? Every single headline. And it's like, Bosa knew what he was doing. It was going to make headlines. And he knew that Carr would be asked about it. But A, it's not true. B, the Raiders are fully aware of what Bosa is doing. And didn't work. Swing and a miss, Bosa. Better luck next
time. Yeah. The real shitty thing for me is that we have to wait until the last game of the season to play these guys again. We play them again, January 9th? The last fucking Sunday. Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, we have to wait all this time. Hopefully it's for something to play for. Hopefully it's for something to play for, because when we can serve it up to them and we can hopefully take something away from them.
I'm going to fast forward to that last week of January, that last game in January. I really, really wonder if Carr's going to bring this up. I'm very curious. 3 months from now, let's see how long Derek Carr holds a grudge. Will he bring this up after that last game? Mark this mentally, everybody, because I'm going to remember and we're going to talk about it.
58 minutes of episode, what, 54, 55, something like that?
54 or 53, episode 53. Yeah, we're flying.
Jesus.
Last one on Carr. So he was asked, I think it was today's press conference. And it sounds like a fluff question, a kind of like, you know, make you look good question. But I thought it was a really, really good question, because I'm very curious what the leader of a football team thinks when this question is asked. And he was asked in this press conference, what's something you guys are doing well? Because, you know, you just lost a game, right? Everyone's thinking negative. What's one thing you guys are doing well that no one's talking about? Everyone's talking about Carr's passing yards and the points they're making and the defense is improving. What's something that no one is talking about that the Raiders are doing well? And I doubt anyone would have thought this was the answer, but I love this answer.
It goes back to the closeness of our team, the brotherhood of this team. You know, I think that's something that is special. You don't always get it every year, but we have it this year with a tight-knit group, and that closeness that we have and that love for each other, you know, that means something. You know, but you see that also, you know, when Daniel, you know, misses a kick, man, everyone's over there, bro. You got the next one, bro. Don't worry about that. We got your back. That's on us. You know, we shouldn't have put you in that position. You know, that kind of stuff. You see it everywhere. You know, a guy gives up a play deep, Yannick, I should have got to the quarterback. No, that's on me. After the game, Yannick comes up to me, first person. He's like, we shouldn't have put you in that spot, man. We should have held him to less than that. I'm like, bro, that's not on you, you know. But you see this group that we're all holding each other accountable and we're taking it upon ourselves. I think that's the special thing that should be highlighted.
Now, this isn't just foo-foo, rainbows, hippie shit, right? This isn't just words. Like, there's something tangible to this. In team sports, trusting the guy next to you and having faith in each other and not having infighting, whether it's a corporate team, a squad in the military, or a football team, you can't put a price on what it does to individuals in a tribe that feel safe with each other. You just can't put a price on that. You just, there's not cortisol running through your veins. You're sleeping better. You're playing better. And a football team, it means so much. And you look at some other teams in the league, right? Jaguars with Urban Meyer, you know, Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. Like, there's so many clusterfucks going on in this league, right? The fact that there's unity and function in that locker room with those 53 players and that they love each other, care about each other, great leaders like Derek Carr, Yannick Ngakoue, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, like hard workers, guys people trust. Like, the fact that we have that is going to carry us over obstacles that a more talented team that doesn't have that unity won't be able to do.
It really, having that strong foundation will allow you to build a structure higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be able to take on those cracks in the facade. And that's what happened. We got cracked. That's it. Our facade got cracked. The foundation is still solid. It's still intact. So moving forward, we should be fine.
When I was working at Fox, at Fox Sports here in Culver City, I was in their green room. They call it the avocado room in the Culver City office. And I was there with a former Bengals player. I was doing some UFC stuff. He was doing some football stuff. And we were both waiting in the same weight room. And we were having this conversation. I won't tell you who it is. I won't put him on blast. But this player was telling me how when he came into the league at the Bengals, how Chad Ochocinco would get upset during practices and just leave. Go home. Coaches would do nothing. No consequences. They acted like it was a normal day. Coaches acted like they just ordered a sandwich when they watched their superstar receiver throw a tissy fit because he didn't get thrown the ball enough in practice and storm off. And this player, who was a rookie at the time, was like, oh, that's how it works in the NFL. That's how it is. Superstars get to do what they want. Coaches have no authority. Everyone hates each other. That's just how it is in the NFL. With a team as young as the Raiders, having this structure, one of the youngest teams in football, having this good unity, structure, leadership is invaluable. Because now you have a whole new generation of young players thinking, this is how it's done. This is how we got each other's back. We're in the trenches together. We hold each other accountable. We don't knock people down. When I screw up, I take it. I try to help. If another teammate screws up, I ask myself, what could I have done to help him more and not call him an asshole and knock him down? This is something big for us. And again, people are going to think, oh, RJ, you hippie, this feel-good story. Like, no, like this is tangible. This is a tangible quality that this team has I'm not saying it's going to take us to the Super Bowl, but the basement level, like as bad as this team can be, is much higher than where it could have been if we didn't have this system in place that Derek Carr's talking about.
I think it was the 2017 season where we started 2-0, and then we went to Washington and got our shit pushed in on like a Sunday night game or something like that. And the question was asked, you know, how were you able to get this going? How were you able to get this win tonight against the Raiders? They were coming in 2-0. And the overwhelming, you know, narrative was, yeah, you just got to hit them hard and don't let them do what they want to do early in the game and they'll quit. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And that's what happened with their season. So they were a lot of the same, it's the same roster as they had the year before when they won 12 games. And yeah, man, I'm trying to find it. If this is the game here.
I've never, and
that's this is the season. Part. Yeah. They beat Tennessee the first game. They beat the Jets the second game. They 26-16. They won against the Jets 45-20. That's when is that the Marshawn Lynch game where he was? No, that wasn't the Marshawn Lynch game. But in the next week, they lost to the Skins, and then they lost to the Broncos, and then they lost to the Ravens, and then they lost to the Chargers. So that's what happens when you don't have a strong foundation as a team. When, like you said, the guys don't trust the guys next to them, and they start letting the doubt creep in, letting that take over their thoughts and their mindset. So hopefully that's changed now. It sounds like it has.
Yeah, this is also why I have no problem not having Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, those locker room cancers that despite maybe they can play great, if they drag down what's going right in that locker room, then they're just not worth it. They're just not worth having.
Yeah, like you said earlier, if you don't have a core group that's strong on your team, and I'm talking stronger than what we seem to have now. I'm talking about like that's in the culture of the franchise. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, it's going to be like that player that you spoke to, looking at Ochoa, oh, it's just the way it is. You know, certain people act that way, right?
Yeah.
But if you have that strong core, that strong culture, they stand out from how you're supposed to do things. Mm-hmm. So that's why the teams like, you know, the Patriots in the past and the Bucks and all, they're able to bring those types of guys in because they know, okay, everyone knows that he's going to pull his shit, but he still has to, you know, do certain things. And they're seen as the anomaly. They're not like, this is how it is in the NFL.
So we're an hour into this show, and we haven't even touched on the Bears game yet. Do you want to just do like a pregame special, like a YouTube only Bears Raiders primer?
We can. I can get through it in a few minutes. It's really simple. It's really easy. We can if you want to, though.
Let's do a special. Let's change things up.
Okay.
Let's do a Raiders Bears pregame special. We'll do it YouTube only for those of you listening on the podcast. You have to go to the YouTube page. And we'll do it this weekend, and we'll just do, you know, a simple, probably only be like, 15, 20 minutes?
About 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. We will do the What a Windbags, though. Ryan Guns, RJ, I think Gruden is more apt to pat himself on the back for finding Barber than coming to the realization running backs are replaceable. Like, think about this for a minute. You're Peyton Barber, and you're on the practice squad, and you're like, am I ever going to get on this roster? And you see they've got Josh Jacobs, all pro, Kenyon Drake, $11 million backup quarterback. Jalen Richard, a $3.5 million third-string quarterback that the locker room loves. And you're like, fuck, I'm never going to play. I'm never, ever going to play. Lo and behold, Jacobs gets hurt, Richard on the IR, and Drake essentially gets, not benched, but plays second fiddle to you. And you're the only guy that's been able to get over 100 yards rushing on this team in four games. What a wild and weird, wacky time. And I'm worried that Ryan is right, that instead of John Gruden supposedly, hopefully thinking, let's not overpay these running backs. It matters less who's there and more who's blocking for him. And more, he'd be like, yeah, I found a diamond in the rough. Peyton Barber's the guy. Let's give him $8 million a year.
Yeah. I don't know that Gruden is capable of understanding. I'm sure he can understand it, but accepting this fact that the way this team currently is constructed and the strengths of this team, the team has to be a pass first offense and then run out of those passing formations. Mm-hmm. They can't, and they have to run as a change of pace. They can't establish to run and then pass off. That's not the way this team is built. And that's not the strength of this team. And they've shown it.
Robert Pena, let's move Leatherwood to guard and invest in a center. Need to protect Carr. I mean, we've invested in two centers. We've already paid James, and then Nick Martin is getting like $5 million to be a backup center. I thought Martin was supposed to play guard too. Are we really like getting like guys off the scrap heap over Martin at guard?
Oh, no, man. Look.
Is he that bad? Or
Andre James' pass protection is not the problem. His run blocking is suspect, but not the pass pro. The pass pro issues are on the right side, and that is Leatherwood and whoever's fucking playing guard. That's the issue. Now, if you want to kick Leatherwood in, you have Brandon Parker, which is what I'm saying all along. Why not put Brandon Parker in there if Leatherwood is that bad at pass protection? Mm-hmm. Parker can't be. When Parker played, when Leatherwood got hurt, he did fine. He gave one sack, but I don't know, man. It's just it's a big, big fucking problem.
Shrimp boat captain. I wonder if he's actually a shrimp boat captain or he's just a big fan of Forrest Gump. Shrimp boat captain.
Closet Charger fan. You could tell by the question.
The Chargers roster is superior at every position group except tight end and maybe cornerback. Coaching staff probably better as well. Well, if anything, that should show you how well Derek Carr and this team plays as a unit when all the individual players are all about. Because I don't think defensive line as a whole, I think is pretty comparable. Nope. I think so.
I think you're wrong.
Interiorly, plus Yannick and Max?
No.
As a whole?
They have Linval Joseph. That's better than anyone we have at tackle.
I think our depth is our strength more than individual.
Okay,
stars.
They have better players. That's the bottom line. They have better players all around.
But this is my point then. If we were able to keep it within 7 points going into the fourth quarter, and they're better at everything than us, then that, I think, has to be depth and that team unity that we were talking about. Like, okay, maybe you're right.
Your individual starter.
Then that means we're playing as great as a team with the pieces that we have.
Yeah, I said it in the post game show. This is not all doom and gloom. As I have not seen this team play this poorly, the organization performed so poorly. So not just the players, but the coaches, the preparation, everything. They just didn't look ready to play. Yeah. I had not seen a Raider team, even in the first half against the Falcons, they scored something. They scored 2 field goals. So they scored something in the first half. Against the Chargers, they didn't do jack shit. So this is the worst I've seen them. And even despite that, they still kept the game close into a 1-score game going into the fourth quarter. And they had a chance to tie the score. So, I mean, as bad as we played, we still had a chance to make it a game at the end.
And that was not even with like some fluky pick six or, you know what I mean? Or like some block punt, you know what I mean? Like that's even without giant swings that are somewhat fluky that can drastically turn games. No, it was just meat and potatoes football. Mm-hmm. So, not that I wouldn't love some of those fluky plays every now and then, guys.
God, can we get an turnover?
If you're listening, how about just like one pick six, just like throw one in there just to like change things up. Make me wrong. Well, until that day comes,
knock on wood if you're with me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. We will definitely do that the Bears pregame show. We'll do it Saturday afternoon just on YouTube. So make sure you check out our YouTube page, the Autumn Windbags. Until next time, later.